allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. It's Elk Rapids Township regular meeting, October 10th. Start out with public comment, if there is any. Not seeing any, we'll move on. Approval of the agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed or added? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay, support. Okay, any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The consent agenda. Excuse me. Is there anything on the consent agenda that needs to be changed? If not, I'd entertain a motion, please.
I'll make the motion to support the consent agenda as written.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Not hearing any discussion, a roll call vote.
Roll call, Holtz?
Yes.
Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
And Boisvert, yes.
Motion carries. Sheriff and Commissioner report. Excuse me. Not seeing the sheriff. And I'm not seeing the commissioner. We do have a Antrim County report. 911s was 3. Alarms 2. I'm going to just go down the highlighted ones. Driving complaints 3. Fire structure 3. General assist 2. Medical call 11. 19 traffic stops. A total of 57 complaints. We'll move on to ambulance report. MMR. I'm not seeing anyone from MMR, so we'll move on. Pete, fire department, please.
At this rate, it'll be a quick meeting, right?
I'm guessing so.
Good morning. Pete Vandenberg, fire chief. We were dispatched to 15 incidents in the month of September. Current staff is at 22. All the equipment and apparatus are in good order. On September 19th, I went to the MTA conference in Frankenmuth. It was specifically aimed at fire department issues, and recruitment retention were one of the topics, and the other one was training requirements. And of course, I find that an odd combination because one of our big recruitment and retention problems is the fact that of the training requirements. And yes, there are more requirements coming down the road in terms of training for our firefighters. So it goes on and on. You've got three policies attached there, or three policy revisions. One, a fireworks approval plan. Another one, law enforcement assist policy. And the third is a landing zone policy. The landing zone policy is a revision of something that was already on the books. All three of these have been through the fire board and approved by them. And then also attached, you'll find a report for your benefit of short and long-term goals. Fire board asked me to do this about 6 months ago. It was presented to them at the last meeting in September, and here it is for you folks to look at. If you don't mind, I'll take a couple of minutes and review that with you. Quite honestly, the biggest challenge we have going forward from this day on is recruitment and retention. and keeping people appropriately trained for their positions. And that's never going to get any easier. In terms of things in the five-year range, we're already beginning to talk about a possible benefit program or retirement account for our firefighters. The rescue truck will be, in 5 years, it'll be, I believe, 26 years old. So at that point, we need to begin replacing that. We usually figure on a 30-year life. In 5 years, again, evaluate the building and staffing needs. Continue to work on the training center and maintain or improve our ISO rating if that's possible. 10-year goal is that tanker, 5530, will be then again approaching its replacement age of 30 years old. And that'll be something that'll have to be dealt with. Again, we're sitting pretty well in terms of major equipment here. All the trucks are in great shape right now, and we're 5 to 10 years from having to think about any replacements. By then, we'll be done making payments. And I would hope that financially the township and the fire district be in good shape at that time. But quite honestly, going forward, the biggest challenge we have is continues to be recruitment and retention. And we're healthy now, and you know, it's really difficult to anticipate where we'll be in 3 or 5 years. So. Questions or comments or concerns?
Sure. Pete, do we have a landing zone in our township?
It's been established over at the Bible Church on next door to the high school there. That's the only place that AeroMed would qualify as appropriate.
Okay. One other, just so everyone knows, Pete and I, and I think Mike was there as well, we had a discussion about mutual aid and the ordinance. And I was just curious how you're coming on that process.
I've done some homework. I'm going to try to get a report ready for you next month, the Dorrington for the board, yep. An ordinance for fee billing, yep. Yep, and how to deal with mutual aid, yep.
We will need to do a little follow-up meeting at some point, Pete, with our neighbors and what have you. So I just wanted to try to get on record that we are working on trying to get that together and follow up with our neighbors. Mike, one other question. I'm sorry, Pete, I'm going to come back to you, but you got to remind me on his budget. Do we have a reserve for new equipment building that I forgot?
We're starting to, yes.
We are. In 5 to 7 years, do you believe we'll have funding to buy a new piece of equipment?
If nothing other major things happen, probably, right?
Okay. Because I know, Pete, we've talked about it. I feel strongly, and I hope the board agrees, but that we need to try to build funding up for these purchases prior to the purchase so we're not funding so much through loans.
Couldn't agree with you more. I hate to see the township paying interest. It's a well-known fact. We own a replacement cost on the fleet we have is probably in the neighborhood of $1.25 to $1.5 million. If it's got a 30-year life, you know what you need to be spending every year to keep that fleet current. So, you folks have been good. I encourage you to start establishing a fund for that.
Well, that's a good thing to know. If we're looking at $1.25 million on investment, then we should start looking in those lines so that we're not looking at financing so much of it. If we get this one handled, then I think that'll be a time when we can really look at drilling down on that.
I agree.
I welcome anybody else on the board. I'm sorry. I just had a bunch of things I wanted to ask Pete. I know we talked about the Halloween party, and I forgot all about exactly. There still is a plan.
MMR plans to host the Halloween open house, Halloween party, fairly traditional. They say they're going to reduce some of the displays a bit. They are short on staff to help, but some of the firefighters will also be helping out with that event. Yeah, but it will happen on Tuesday the 31st, yes.
Shelley, you've got to have a question of some sort.
When we're ready to go through these policies, we need to approve them one at a time? Or?
That's your choice. You want to deal with that now? Did you have any questions on any of those policies?
No, especially since the fire board already approved them, and so the people in the know have looked at them and know that they're what's necessary.
Does anybody else have any questions? Mike? So I guess if we want to proceed with the policies, don't run away, because we'll probably need your help.
Yeah.
Do you think it's probably appropriate to do it in three different?
Yeah, I have it on the agenda as A, B, and C, so.
I guess we need to address the landing zone policy.
I'll move to approve that policy as written.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? We know of the area of questions, so I guess that's really about all we have to know, I guess. So I guess all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The fireworks approval plan. Any questions?
I do have a question on that. Pete, that looks like it's more for major fireworks like the village would put on or something. It's not anything to do with someone shooting up fireworks in their backyard.
That's correct. It has nothing to do with consumer-grade fireworks. It's for fireworks like the Harbor Days one. Those require by state law a permit, and so this is the process we set up to evaluate this. Quite honestly, what you see in front of you is what has developed over the years. It's what we've been doing for the past number of years, and I just decided it was finally time to put that in writing and get approval on that. And I would stress that technically the sponsor of the fireworks doesn't even need our approval according to state law. All they need is a permit from the municipality, which in that case is the village, but then the village simply turns to us and says, we're not going to approve this without your consent. So, and that's the process we've established. And key to that is the sentence that says we follow the NFPA guidelines. So the fire chief has not made up a set of rules that he thinks make it safe for fireworks. We simply look at the NFPA guidelines. If what they propose matches that or exceeds it, we give them our approval.
What's that stand for?
National Fire Protection Association, and I can't, you've got the ordinance number in front of you there, and I can't remember it offhand, but
1123.
There you go. NFPA makes proposed policies on everything to do with fire departments, from building codes to what a firefighter's flashlight should be to fireworks and all that other stuff. And in times like this, when we have something that's very technical and outside of our normal area of expertise, we look to NFPA to supply us with a document, and that's what we use.
Pete, do you feel that you have any liability going along with this fireworks?
Of course. There's no way to say we don't. We're involved in it, and if something goes wrong, it's going to be uncomfortable.
So you feel comfortable with this to protect you?
But I feel comfortable. Again, that NFPA policy is the bedrock of firework approval plans everywhere in the United States. And I think the community has a right and an interest in having a fireworks presentation, and so we're going to do it to make it safest as we can. By national standards. Yeah.
Does anybody have any other questions? Guess we need a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the fireworks approval plan.
Do we have support?
Support.
We have support. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Law enforcement assistance policy. Next on the list. Is there any questions on that? And again, you're comfortable with the way this is?
Yep. This came out of a couple of trainings and talks with local law enforcement, yes.
Well, if there's no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to support the response to incidents and law enforcement.
Okay, do we have support?
Support.
Okay, we have support. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Pete, I have one last question, and I know this is probably something, maybe it's out of your wheelhouse to some extent, but I've been getting a lot of stuff on the FEMA, and of course now with all these national disasters and everything else, where are you in that? I mean, as far as, I know you keep up on it, but where does El Crapitz Township actually stand on that situation from the fire side?
I'm not quite sure I understand your question.
Are you getting more training now toward, I know we went through a disaster plan at one point in time, and we haven't done anything, quite frankly, like right. that since as a township, but I didn't know if you've continued to have information come to you.
The requirements we have for training our officers require a fair amount of what's normally referred to as incident command training. It's a command structure that's fairly transparent through the United States. It's how one agency would work with another agency and what that command structure would be. And so in any kind of large event, that incident command system would fall very nicely into place. And I will say that all of the fire agencies in our corner of the world have universally adapted it, and it works quite well. We have very little contact with FEMA. We did get an email from the, I hesitate to say their name, but they're the people in Michigan charged with the disaster response. I believe it came out of the state fire marshal's office. But anyway, we did get an email after one of the hurricanes encouraging us to not respond until we were specifically asked. And they said at this time, no equipment's been requested from Michigan. In other words, they didn't want us hooking our boat behind the truck and taking off for Texas on our own. That's about the extent of the communication we've had in the last three disasters, yeah.
Well, I was just curious because this morning I'm watching news and watching on the fires where all these different firefighters are coming in from all over the countryside to assist. Yeah. I was just curious how we were placed in something like that.
And again, there's a national a plan for that, for forest fires. We've never been a part of that. We don't have specific forest fire capabilities. But Michigan DNR is part of that. They often send personnel and equipment to those. It's a mutual aid pack on a national scale is what it is. And obviously California is very well versed at operating those. They get a lot of practice.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Knock on wood, we don't have a lot of that practice here. So.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Pete. Anybody else have any questions?
It's just kind of funny that our only communication with FEMA is no thank you. It's good. It's good compared to where we are.
I find that interesting. Okay, we'll move on to the HRTHA report. I'm not seeing anybody from HRTHA. We do have some information from HRTHA in our packet. I assume everybody's seen that. So we'll move on to our presentation from Nanette.
Hi, I'm Nanette Miller, and I'm the library director. I gave each of you a packet, and I'm just going to go through it. I also have the bigger boards back here, so you can look at them maybe later. My easel malfunctioned, so. So the first thing we have in this packet is the case statement, and I'm not going to go through that. I'm going to allow you to just read that on your own. I will say I think it makes a pretty compelling case, but I'm a little bit biased. So. Then we come to the drawings, and if you kind of look at those, I can explain a few things. The first drawing we come to, which is 0.2, is the existing site plan. So it shows you how the building sits on the island right now. The dotted lines indicate where the addition would be. The next page is the site plan with the addition. And it's kind of important to think about this, I think. The current building takes up 2% of the island. And if we double it, which we're almost doubling it with this plan, it would take up less than 4% of the island. This time, there are no real plans for further parking on the island.
Excuse me, one question.
Yep.
I realize now that you've changed ends of the building. Was there any reason for that? I'm just curious.
Why we added on the way we did?
Yeah, versus the first.
Right. Conception. Our first plan was to go off to the east along the parking lot, along that very steep hill that's unusable. And the State Historic Preservation Office said no. They said that according to the Secretary of the Interior standards, you must add on to the back of a building. They thought it was important that when you drive up the driveway, it looks the same as it always has. And so that's what this plan does. This is sort of tucked into the back. It's you'll see in some of the elevations, it's shorter. It's a little bit smaller, and it's subservient to the main building.
Okay, I'm
which
just
is
curious.
What they require. So actually, this plan was worked out with the State Historic Preservation Office and our architects. They sat down together and said, well, what would work with this plan and this site? And this is what they came up with. This is not as efficient for us as a library as far as operations. We were trying to get the main services all on one floor. This puts youth on the lower level, which is a staffing increase that's a permanent cost increase. But if you look at the first floor plan, this would be looking at it from, say, the river. So the entrance is to the right where it is right now, and it won't move. The entrance will stay there. The only thing that will change is when you go in the vestibule, instead of going to the right and in front of the fireplace, you would come in back of the fireplace. And what that allows us to do is recreate a parlor sort of feel in that adult nonfiction room. We plan to have the fireplace working, have some comfortable seating. We're going to shift the circulation desk. And one of the big requests we had from both staff and the public was to move those bathrooms away from the circulation desk. So we've done that, and we've made that area a staff work area. Then what is now the dining room and the children's room, that all stays the same. The existing elevator and stairwell to the basement, which were added, I don't have a date on that, but it was added sometime in the last 30 years, I think. That will be gone, and then that will be more room in the back, which is now a staff area. That will become adult public area. Along that window facing the bay, or along that side next to the porch, that used to be conservatory windows, and the plan is to put those back in, so you have another very nice place for adults to sit, like the porch is now. Then the addition goes on to that section of the building, and there are the restrooms, there's a copy area, a tutoring room, there's a stairwell to the lower level, which is, you'll see from the drawings, quite glassy and open, so you can see down the stairs. There will be adult reading and collections in that area, and then that's the community room on that level, on the first floor. And we have some storage and a craft room, the elevator, a new elevator, and then the programs room, and then that, it's an exterior roof deck there because the lower level is bigger than the community room that sits on top of it. So all of that flat roof will be utilized as outdoor seating. So you can get to that from the programs room. You could have, let's say you had an event there, you could utilize the deck. We can have story time in the deck. A lot of people I've talked to are very, very excited about that possibility. And then there are some 3D drawings that don't pay attention to where there are tables or chairs. They just put things in so it didn't look empty, and certainly not all the shelving is shown there. But it gives you a little bit of an idea of where things are and how it lays out. And then the lower level, once you get down there, this area that's in the new addition that's called casual seating, where the stairwell comes down, that's at the same level as the current basement. There would be a door into the Friends book sale area. There would be a door into what is currently the meeting room, would become the staff break room, and the elevator would stop on that level, and then it would go down to the children's and teens level, which is a few steps down. I think she said it's a 3-foot difference. So that the ceilings are taller in the youth area. You can see there's a teen area and then a children's area. Because we'll have to staff it, there's a circulation desk and a staff work area down there. There is an entrance from the outside into that teen area. Our other plan had it over by the bridge, which we liked. This one is not quite so convenient, but there is an entrance there. And then the 3D cutout of that. And then we get to the elevations and the drawings. And the first one, you can see when you drive up the driveway, it looks exactly the same. And if you're standing down by the Harbor Bathhouse, the building looks exactly the same. You can't see the addition from either of those vantage points. And the next drawing shows the roof lines. And you can see this is from the west and the east. No, south and north, I'm sorry. And so you can see that the addition is lower and subservient to the existing building, which is what the Secretary of the Interior guidelines calls for. It's also slightly smaller. The current building is actually 6,500 square feet. Only probably 3,800 of that is actually usable as public space. We're planning to add 6,300 square feet roughly. And all of that will be usable as public space. So we'll end up with almost 10,000 square feet of public area. Then there are just various drawings. The thing that SHPO really wanted was that community room. The way they described it was invisible architecture. They wanted you to be able to see through it. They wanted it to look sort of like a pavilion sitting there on that lower level. And that's why there's so much glass. You can see the glassy stairwell. The programs room is mostly glass. There, of course, will be room darkening shades, so we can do various things. But then we just have different views, and they're duplicated up here. So the last thing in this packet is the letter from the State Historic Preservation Office assuring us that these plans meet the Secretary of the Interior guidelines, and therefore, we will not lose the historic marker. Does anyone have any questions?
Nanette, with the addition to the building, what's the additional staffing required?
Well, we haven't gotten that far. I think, honestly, I could do it with the staff I have with just a slight increase in hours, because we have a workroom downstairs right now that's one person will go down there and catalog or do things where you don't want to be interrupted at the desk. So I already have additional staffing for parts of the day. I'll have to add a few hours, and we haven't set out a real plan for that yet, but I don't think I'll even need to hire anybody.
Okay, now the next question that I've heard. floating around here. Everybody's got the concept. Who's paying for this?
It will all be done with private funds. We are not intending to ask for a millage or a bond issue to do this. We are hoping to do fundraising as Interlochen has done. They did all the money for their brand new library through private sources, through fundraising, and that's our hope that okay. we can do that.
Because everybody that comes into our office asks me how much are the taxes going to be raised, and unfortunately, their 2016 millage is 0.5259, mm-hmm. and actually for 17 it's going down to 0.521.
Yes, that's right.
So the taxes aren't going to be increased.
Well, they're offset by increases in the taxable values.
Right.
We actually do collect a yes. little more. But that's a problem with millage in perpetuity. It is, rolled back every
yep,
year. And eventually you will reach a point where you can't collect enough. But I'm hoping that's not while I'm here. but it might happen someday in the future. Right now, we are doing quite well, and we add to our fund balance every year in a significant way. So, we have not done the numbers, so I can't say, okay. oh, well, it's going to cost us. But I don't think it's going to be, I think the biggest challenge will be the fundraising. I think operating will not be.
Do you know what the overall project cost looks like?
We got an estimate, but we have not gone through it because he included everything to the grand opening celebration costs. And like, we can bake cookies, then we don't need that. And, the furniture, I think there's some things we don't need right up front to break ground and start construction. We need to raise the money for construction. Mm-hmm. The money for the furniture, the money for the audiovisual equipment, that can come as we go. That's actually what Interlochen is doing. They broke ground this summer, and they don't have the money to furnish it. They have the money to build it, and they're still fundraising and hoping to raise the money to build it. And I think what happens is when people see it take shape, then they step forward and say, well, I want to buy all the chairs for the kids' room, or I want to buy, your audiovisual equipment, or, things like that happen.
So you don't have a number?
Not at this time. No, not until the board can go through it. I think we're looking at...
How many square feet are they adding?
6,300. And the square footage cost is pretty accurate, and there's also about $400,000 added in because we can't break ground right now, just for inflation in the construction costs. I don't want to say because we haven't gone through it as a board. So,
operationally, do you think you can keep the same type of budget? Or obviously, it's going to increase some, but you
right.
probably got an idea of where that may. But with the funding you have, you feel confident you can operate?
I do. With the amount we add to the fund balance each year, plus we have the bulk of the heifer gift that probably will not be used for construction, but save that for operating. Because we can't use our millage money to build it.
Yes.
It's operating millage only, so we can't use that. But the heifer gift we can use for anything. So we haven't done the numbers because we're waiting to see if we're even moving forward. If we get the go-ahead, then all these things will be worked out. But if we're not allowed to move forward, then we won't do that.
Correct me where I'm wrong, but as it stands today, don't you collect millage from Elk Rapids Township,
mm-hmm.
Milton Township,
mm-hmm.
and Torch Lake Township?
No.
No?
Torch Lake is not millage. We have a contract dating back to the 60s with Torch Lake Township. They give us a contribution each year, and our contract says we'll serve half of Torch Lake Township, the half that's in Elk Rapids Schools, but we don't differentiate, and we serve all of Torch Lake Township. And that was something we were looking at addressing, because the people actually in the southern half of Torch Lake Township don't pay millage to any library at all, but they get to use two different libraries. So we didn't think that was really fair, but now we got busy with this, and so we haven't done anything about that.
So those are your operational funding mechanisms?
Yes. And actually, the millage that we collect is almost 90% of our operating budget. There's very little support we get from the state. The biggest other source of income is penal fines, so the more more crime in Antrim County, the better for us. That's a sad state of affairs, I think.
Are you the only one that draws off that in this county?
No.
I was going to say, there's probably a couple more.
There's a lot. Actually, we don't get nearly as much as some other, libraries. Like Kalkaska gets all of it because they're the only library. But we're not the only library in Antrim County. And, in fact, Charlevoix County collects some of it. Crooked Tree District collects some, and Jordan Valley. They all take a little bit of ours because they have a little bit of service area in Antrim County. So this year we got about $13,000 in penal fines. And we usually, I think we budgeted 13, we got 15. And that's typical for here.
The build on this building will be up to spec as far as all the heating and air conditioning requirements. So will it have any improvement benefit to the other part of the building? It looks like...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The original building will be renovated in a pretty major way in that, things will shift around. Bathrooms will move out of it. We'll add some windows. We'll make, doorways into the parlor again. It will definitely have some improvement. Plus, upgrading the heating and cooling system is going to make it more efficient. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have three furnaces and a, heating 3,800 square feet. So we're hoping we can make things a little more efficient with this.
So there will be some upgrading in the existing building.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something a lot of folks don't realize. There's going to be needs for upgrading anyways in the existing building.
Mm-hmm.
You'd know probably better than I, Dick, but that stuff has to be retired after a certain point.
Absolutely.
Right. This year, the village had to come and patch the foundation. The foundation was crumbling. And they did a patch that will last, maybe 10 years. But, things like that are going to need to be addressed.
So this is the final?
No.
No? I'm just curious.
No, these are conceptual drawings. I want to make that very clear. This is what the State Historic Preservation Office supports. It can't change very much from this and still have their support. They looked at this and they said, yes, this meets the guidelines. We'll send it to the Michigan Historical Commission. And they even said off record that if we were on the National Register, this addition would pass muster with the National Park Service, who regulates those buildings. We're not on the National Register. Someone applied back in the 80s but never finished the application, so we're not there. But we hired the best historic preservation architects we could find. They have won national awards for the work they've done. They do a lot of work on Mackinac Island, and you know how that has to be historically correct. We hired the right architects for this building. So...
you're going to double the square footage of usage, but you have no additional parking. How have you handled that?
What we're hoping is that we can work with the harbor and get a few spaces, how they have those ones by the bathhouse, that we can put a couple more for staff parking, and then there will be an entrance at the lower level for the staff to enter the building. Right now, there's really no way to add more parking in the existing lot, and no one was very excited about adding another parking lot. So at this moment in time, we're not talking, even though we need parking, we definitely, if you come there on a Wednesday, we definitely need parking. And but we're not talking about parking.
Well, there's village parking, Dick. I mean,
You park
and you walk across the bridge.
That's right. That's our biggest.
People will be walking. So there's parking all over.
Right.
It's just a matter of it's not at the front door.
Right.
It's permittable the way it lays out, apparently.
Well, we don't know that yet. I understand we would need two spots to add two spots for this square footage addition is what I was, we heard that a long time ago. I don't know if that's accurate anymore. But if we needed just two spots and we could take them out of the harbor, I think that might meet the needs. If we could just get staff out of the parking lot, it would help.
How many staff do you usually have there at one given time in a daytime?
The minimum is two on the weekends. At times, we have four or five, okay, depending if the tech guy's there, depending if, you know, what time of day it is. Sometimes we have, we always have at least two, but there are times when we have up to five. And that's half of our parking spots. I mean, we have 12 parking spaces. So if you can move five cars out of there, that will help a lot.
Aaron, do you have any questions?
Nope.
You're the other resident builder, architect, whatever.
We're working on the interlock in library. It's funny to say that.
Are you? Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, they have a beautiful plan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, we're working with the same fundraising consultants that they did, or we will be. We've talked with them. So if we're allowed to proceed, we'll be working with them.
I will say it's over budget at this point, but we're working through that.
isn't it always?
Is it the electrical?
You want, actually?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. The indirect lighting. I mean, they've got some really great looking lighting, but it's, you know, it's a 10,000 square foot building and the fixture package is 125,000.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, so there's things to watch.
Oh, I know. I did a project in Boyne City. We did the library, and the thing I asked them, I said, I want as few kinds of light bulbs as possible, as few different kinds. I think we ended up with 25 different kinds of light bulbs.
Yeah, go LED. they'll go with LED. You know.
Oh, sure.
Super efficient. But,
yeah.
But yeah.
We're replacing actually those.
I understand you're way early in that process, but you know,
yeah,
that's a, you know, it's a 130,000 electrical project that went to 250 because of, you know, but there's all things you guys will work through.
Oh yeah, that's down the road. We have to get through. So the important dates, on October 23rd, the Village Council has set a public hearing. They did not want to hear public comment particularly on this during our presentation last Monday. So they've set this public input hearing, and that's on the 23rd at 6 p.m. And then on November 6th, they're planning to vote on it and decide what to do. Now, if they give us the go-ahead, then they would have to apply to the Planning Commission for a special use permit. And I don't exactly understand all that, but that's what they have to do. And then the Planning Commission would hold another hearing, and then if they give us the go-ahead, we'll get started.
Well, so, what does the timeline look? Let's just say that all happens. So you're going to have to start fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you foresee as a timeline?
Well, the special use permit expires after 1 year, and then you can get a one-year extension. So we pretty much have to have raised enough to break ground within 2 years, or we have to go through the process again of asking for permission. So
when do you think the final drawings will be final after the approvals?
Yep. If we get all the approvals, then we'll end up with actually a model, and we'll end up with, you know, the real site plan, not the construction drawings at that point, probably, maybe, but a little more detailed than this, so that we can you know, have something to work with. So we're the project cost estimate that they gave us looked at starting construction in 2020.
Okay.
So I just hope we do it before I retire. Anything else?
Yep, I do.
Okay.
Two things. The unusable space right now that's in the existing library, that's just going to stay unusable?
Well,
I mean,
it's storage. The ceiling is about this high. There's no windows. It's basement, you know, like you go up a step and then you're back. We call it the creepy space. There's the old coal bins and vegetable bins. We store decorations and things back there. So, and the furnaces are in that area right now. So that will stay like it is. except, you know, we might take out a furnace and replace elsewhere. But it's not possible to use that as public space.
To incorporate that into the plan if we're doing, okay. Mm-hmm. And my next statement is, first of all, I'd like to say that I know I've said it before, I'm in support of this. I think this would be a great place to go and relax on the back deck and read and watch the water or sit in the porch. And but I'm also a numbers person.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, well, we don't have quite those numbers figured out yet is like a great big roadblock. And if you can possibly sit down with your people and get some numbers, that would expand that comfort zone a little bit of those of us that say, well, now it's going to cost more for operation because we've got this whole big room and it's all glass and the heat's going to be three times as much as it used to be, and we're going to have to hire someone to come and clean windows, if anything. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff, if you could start throwing things into a pot and start looking at some numbers instead of saying, well, we haven't really done that yet, that will push your process forward instead of you keep hitting that wall.
So you're saying the operational costs, you yes. want to see that.
Yeah, because that's where the taxes come in, and that's
right.
where the people are putting their money
right.
Without, you know, I mean, to give donations, that means they really want to do that, but the taxes are
right.
are what they have to be. And if you can, you know, just calm that down a little bit by sitting down with people and getting some numbers on, and you know, they'll be perception at this point too, but at least you'll have something, unless you think you're going to scare people with that.
No, I don't think we are. I am not really, that's not my specialty, is, you know, forecasting how much my utilities might be in this new space. I'm going to have to get some help on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I
and
will,
you know, the utility companies will help you with that. They'll come in and do a
energy study.
Yeah, I forgot what you call it, but
they can do that on something that just based on drawings.
Pretty much on square
yeah.
footage, and if
square
they'll
footage.
Come in and say this is going to be all glass, and we're going to have this type of heater, and I mean, you can get some good ideas on that kind of stuff because
okay.
that will throw you over. And another thing that just makes me nervous is fundraising. Yep, we're going to go for fundraising. We'll be able to break ground, and then well, we used those funds, so now. Now we got excavation and some blocks up and
no.
All right.
No.
See, that's in my mind, and
no.
I'm sure that'll be in other people's mind too.
Right. No, if we don't have the money raised for the construction, we won't break ground.
Okay.
We would have to know that we can build it. Maybe we can't buy all the furniture, but
right.
we'd have to have enough that we can build it.
To finish something, so you don't
right.
have half
and,
of a.
And maybe we can't do all the renovations of the existing building. Right then, you know, they need to be done, but maybe we don't do all of them. Maybe those windows wait. I don't know. You know, that's
okay.
still out there.
In support of what Shelley said too, it would seem to me that you would want to have a projected cost number
mm-hmm.
for the 23rd meeting
of the construction.
Yes.
Or
yes, you've been given an estimate by your architect. And you don't want to make that public, and I ask you, but I would think you would certainly want to make that public for that hearing meeting, because you're going to be
right.
asked and pinned down on that.
Mm-hmm.
And to
well,
Shelley's point, politically, it would sell better that way, just a point of reference.
Right, but the board hasn't had a chance to go through it, which is why I'm not making it public today, because the board got it, but they have not had a chance.
Will the board have a chance to go through it before the 23rd of October?
Yes.
Okay, you're good.
Yes, we will. We just haven't. We meet this Thursday,
okay.
actually. We'll probably maybe appoint a committee or something to look at it. I'm not sure what they'll do. Yeah. But I agree, although I'm told we will not, it's not for asking us questions. It's for the council to hear public comment that they are going to try not to ask us any questions.
Sounds good. You've probably sat here through the number of years that doesn't quite work that way.
Well, yeah, we'll see. It would be good to have a number. The construction cost, I'm not sure that's as important as the operating, though, because it's private funds. It's not, we're not asking you know, you to pay for it.
Right, but people just...
Well, I know they want to know. I know they want to know.
Persona, perception, whatever.
Right.
No, I would also add to Shelley's comments that I support, but I also would like to see the operational, because what goes through certain people's minds, I'm sure, is, well, they'll build it, then they don't have the funding to run it.
That's right.
And that'll be a roadblock for you down the road, I think. I think if you can prove that you do have the funding to run it, and also I'd echo what Dick has said about the build-out costs. I'm just one of those guys, I like to know what it's costing, just so I know.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference. I understand you're getting funded, and that's something I'm going to lean on Mike a little bit. I want Mike to reassure that the township just collects the taxes.
Right.
We have no stake in this deal.
That's
other
right.
than we just wanted to hear the presentation, and we're the tax collector.
There's
correct, Mike?
Tax collectors and distributors, yes.
Yes.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's something that we've been approached by other people, and it's the village's decision. We all know that, but the township does the tax collection.
Right. And I can't guarantee that down the road somewhere they're not going to need to increase the millage. I mean, there's no way. I'd like to be able to project out and say, well, you know, we can operate this with our current millage, but, you know, depending on how much it rolls back and depending on what happens with taxable values, if we have another 2008, I'm not sure what would happen. So I'm hoping we can project out at least 4 or 5 years and say, we're good. We can, you know, maintain it, barring any unforeseen circumstances.
Given our climate as of today, I think that's where you have to operate. I mean, you have to look at what we're doing today and then try to figure from there, because I think Shelley's spot on. That's going to be one of your biggest, as much as we all want to support it.
No, I understand. And we know that. It's just we haven't done that yet, because we're still trying to just find out if we're going to be able to move
sure.
ahead. So.
Sometimes the cart before the horse thing gets us all mucked up, but if you,
right.
know, if you can't provide what's going to be in the cart, it doesn't matter what size horse you have. So
I'm gonna think about that metaphor.
That's Grandpa right there.
Yeah.
Aaron, do you have any questions?
Nope.
How about you, Mike?
No, you guys spoke up. I don't have to say anything, but that was the same question as I was asking.
Oh, really?
Or would have asked. But
well, somebody you beat got, you the numbers question.
That's okay. That's okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'd feel more comfortable once you find, you know, get the numbers
right.
and stuff like that.
Right. And I understand that completely. So, but, you know, we wanted to get conceptual plans that the State Historic Preservation Office approved. And that's where we are at this point. And we'll be working on the numbers.
From what I see here, my opinion is I like it. I mean, it's certainly providing somewhere for the youth, all age groups, I should say. And I guess until you brought up the point with the schools at our previous meeting, not having the space for them, I never thought about that. But certainly it looks like you can accommodate school functions as well. So I encourage anyone else with comment before we let her go. Bill, do you have anything?
Do not.
Okay.
I just want to say I like it. In my opinion, I would support it.
Okay. Once you know.
Once I see some numbers.
Once you see some numbers. I understand.
He's a stickler on that.
Well, as you should be, I think.
Thank you.
His favorite day is tax collection, so you kind of get a drift.
It's a month.
Yeah. Thank you, Nanette. Unless you have something further to add.
No, that I think I do encourage you to read the case statement. I think it's effective in the fact that it takes a look at your collaborative master plan and shows the various ways that the library can help meet those plans. And I understand that's going to be up for review again, so I hope you don't change all the things that we can help you with. I'm going to leave the drawings for a few minutes if you want to look at them afterwards,
sure.
And I'll pick them up in a bit.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on. We have some appointments to make. First of all, we'll talk about the ZBA. Presently, Vince Cooper and Steve Francis are serving, but I've had interest from Bob McCrory. So we have Vince Cooper, Steve Francis, and Bob McCrory. I would suggest to the board that the board may pick two of those. I'm comfortable with any of them. and we should make that decision today. Also, Shelley, I realize they have a meeting tonight. Somehow we have to swear in whomever we choose.
Yeah,
I'm sure you already thought of that.
I did not, but I did get the note in large letters from Julia.
I got that same note as well.
By 3 o'clock.
This afternoon. By 3, yeah.
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 So I got that note as well.
Now, the part of, you know, you guys go ahead and make...
Sure.
As a board person, or I don't know about any one of these people, I have, you know, sometimes there's resumes or why they... Mm-hmm. I mean, even just to get on the golf board, it's like, yeah, I've lived here this long, I've worked this, this, and this, and, you know, and I don't know that about any of these people,
sure.
except for that Vince Cooper and Steve Francis have been on the ZBA for some time now
sure.
and have a feel for it, but I wouldn't mind seeing stuff in the future if we're going to have
sure.
some...
Sure, background?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can tell you, I know all three. Bob McCreary lives out on Elk Lake on Karen Highway. Outside the town or the village. Vince lives south of Elk Rapids, and Steve lives in Elk Rapids. All have been longtime residents. I'm not sure who the rest of the board knows or doesn't know. So I would, at this point, entertain a motion. We need two. We can do it, I think, in one motion. Would that be correct, Bill?
Yes.
For ZBA?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it's the same term.
And refresh me, it's a 4-year term? 3 years.
Three.
3 year.
I think it's a 3-year term. Yeah.
So at this point, we need to pick two of the three.
I would make the motion for the ZBA appointments for Vince Cooper and Bob McCreary.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, do we have any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Vince Cooper, Bob McCreary will serve a 3-year appointment. For the ZBA.
Did Bob know he was up for that?
Yes. Actually, I spoke with him last week a couple times. Planning. I've spoken with Renee Michelle and Emil Sabaty, who both are up. I did not have anyone else show any interest. We haven't, this won't be a hard choice, I guess. And both, now I will say with one question, Emil did mention his age and said we should be trying to find another person. So I had mentioned to him maybe he'd come up with another find. So at this point, he's willing to serve, and certainly he does us a lot of service, as does Renee. So he's helped us on both boards, quite frankly.
Are these for a 3-year term also?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, let me back up just one notch. Zoning and Planning Commission appointments, the following terms expire in 2017?
In August, is what I was told by...
Expired, then.
Mm-hmm. That's why they said hurry up and get them sworn
Okay, so they're
in.
Appointing for a new one. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Today.
Okay.
Today.
Right.
So I'm going to need a motion for Planning Commission.
I'll move to reappoint Emil and Renee.
Okay, do I have support?
Support.
Okay, any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We'll move on to Maple Harbor Sewer. We've had some discussion, and I know Shelley's been working on the rewriting of the sewer ordinance, and that'll go to Matt, and we'll get that prepared for the Maple Harbor program. I know Bill attached, for those of you who haven't seen it, a kind of a preliminary timeline for the Maple Harbor area sewer special assessment, which if everybody'd like to go to the back page, we'll just go over it quickly. what we were hoping is the bid packages will go out and be back by December, and I'm assuming mid-December. The bid packages are going to go out sometime around deer season. That would be November 15th. That's just, I thought, oh, that is.
Great time to send them out.
We'll review bids and contract. The timeline of the project is 6 weeks, project construction. 2 weeks, property owner hookups, it may be a little more, 2 to 8 weeks. The aim is, since project is Class A road, to break ground early in the spring, hopefully before frost laws are off, so that we have a completion of the build. Hopefully, on the building, the line and pump station by 1st of May, but completion of full functioning project by June. Now, that will not include the asphalting. The asphalting will happen later, depending on scheduling. Sale of bonds, mid-February, closing by March 1, which I guess I spoke with Bill this morning on that, Mike. We wouldn't have to draw if you wanted to wait, unless we had to, until April 1. That's totally up your kind of your discretion. How you want to do that? Wait until the next year to do it, if that makes any difference. First bond installment will be on your tax bill December 1.
2018,
I'm sorry. And the platted roads, the township asphalting of the roads. And within, we're hoping to have that done. I don't want to be pinned down, but Bill did say July, August. This is a preliminary, I want to remind everyone, a preliminary plan. So it could have some adjustment in there. But that's kind of our board's goal. Think that we've all kind of been proposing we would like to have the least intrusion during the summer season. On that, I guess, Shelley, you have any, you've had course, or you've had people that I'm sure you've talked with. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I'm making a note right now to just post this preliminary timeline on our website so that anybody can take a look. And really all it is you know, our projected schedule, and anything could go wrong, but this will be helpful, I think, just okay. To get people oriented.
Reminder.
Right.
And if it modifies along the way, we'll tweak it.
And just another reminder, and correct me on this one, was there only one written opposition to this system?
Yes.
Okay, that's just something I wanted the whole board, I didn't know who all had known that, but I thought that was pretty good. Bill, do you have anything to add to the Maple Harbor discussion?
Just for the audience on this, it was on my report that the bonding will be at $451,696.44. There's 42 property owners in the project on this. On September 21st, the Township Board approved and authorized the roll of the 42 with a 10-year bond. The warrant for collection was provided to the Township Treasurer, and notice of special assessment was mailed to each individual property owner. So they had another notice out to them after the meeting. So now we're waiting for the bid proposals to come back for your review.
I have a question, Bill. What is with closing with Alden Bank mean?
Well, there, it's a private sale, basically. We're not gonna put it out for auction on the bond. They've committed to buy the bond.
So Alden is going to buy the municipal bonds?
Yes.
They're sold already?
They're not
basically
sold. They're committed.
Well,
they
committed.
Said we'll
okay.
buy it.
Right. Okay. That's nice.
There's a considerable savings in going through the bid process doing it that way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have another proposal, too, that we push the release of the documents from performance to the 10th of November and bring them in on the 8th of November. That way they get to look at them before they go to deer camp, and we get to see them before the meeting on the 12th.
I think Garrett is already working on the documents, and he's already talked to some of the main contractors, I think, on it. They know it's coming.
What were those dates again?
If we release on November 10th, that's Friday, November 10th.
Okay.
Or post, I don't know. Probably goes in the paper, right, or it doesn't go.
I don't know what. I'm leaving that up to Aaron.
Yeah, he'll send it out to a select group of underground contractors,
right.
Whatever. But then make a due date of the 8th so that we've got these things for the meeting on the 12th.
December.
December 12th.
Right.
Reviewing
right.
the bids on December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, Dick, you're probably, that's probably a good plan. I don't have a problem with that.
I think, Dick, just getting, I'll defer to what Aaron says on this thing, but you may want to call a special meeting just to review the plans versus at a regular township board meeting. I don't know if the bids are in the 10th or whatever, and you have a meeting on the 12th, that doesn't give the board much time to review them.
True.
You know, I don't know, maybe there won't be anything to review, and I don't know, I mean, on this thing, but.
We could have a special meeting later that week.
You'd have a special meeting anytime in December, or maybe January even. I mean, I don't know what Aaron's timeline is. I haven't had any comments back from him. I was just getting nervous. I did this just to get comments from everybody. This is what I, from my notes, this is what I saw here, so.
Right, if you give them 30 days to work on.
I think Aaron may give them more than 30 days. I think he may have it out the first part of November.
Oh, okay.
Sending packages out.
But he could have a spreadsheet done for us for the meeting. We might not have any conclusions, but at least you'll see where it's at.
You'll see where you're sitting.
Well, maybe we want to have the, to your point, we want the bids to be to us by December 11th. Not so much for the 12th meeting, but sometime that week we can have a special meeting just to review with Aaron and others.
Give Aaron a call.
I will.
Get some ideas.
The normal process is that they're delivered back to the architect or the engineer. They prepare a spread for the owner, and then the meeting set up with the owner to discuss. That's the normal tennis games play.
Well, maybe after the meeting, you and I can sit down. We'll call Aaron, because I know you've had, well, both you and Shelley have had more experience than I have at that. I'd like to
I was just looking at sitting by the pool in January.
I understand. I'd like to, I kind of want to know anyways, because that number we're using,
Exactly.
You know, I really want to know sooner than later. I'm kind of interested. Yeah. So I like your timeline. We'll fine tune it if the board's agreeable with that. Is there any objections to Dick helping me and kind of working out a timeline similar to what we're talking about?
Oh, so you want me to wait on what I've got to post on the?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's preliminary.
This is just preliminary.
Yeah, it's
this
all preliminary. And
we'll have it for you by, whatever, an hour.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll do the phone call right away, because I assume we'll get him. And maybe he already has a timeline similar, so I mean.
Yeah, all right, I'll wait.
But I do like the idea of formalizing that so we do know what's going on. Because I know we kind of talked in generalities around deer season, so. If the board's good with that. Anything else on Maple Harbor? Aaron, do you have any questions?
Nope.
You've been awfully quiet on this one.
I'm good.
Okay. Mike?
I'm just waiting to meet with the bond guy.
Oh, his bank accounts. Bill, you and I talked briefly about that. He could set those up. When for the Maple Harbor?
Well, he won't receive any money until
sale. Does it matter when we? I mean, we should have them in place by obviously the sale, but we could do it anytime.
We'll keep that as private. I think you can open them anytime, but I don't like jumping the gun for simply what Dick was sort of indicating.
Yep.
If the price comes in well above what we thought.
True.
We've gone to a lot of nicks because we're going to have to back up on this thing. So sometime after the first of the year, yes. Once our bids come in, I assume, we'll be in touch with bond counsel and have for presentations and how we're going to proceed and so forth. So we get more of a detail from him, Pat McGowan.
Getting underground work or getting exterior contract bids in the month of December is always the best time from my experience. Because everybody's looking at the projected next year.
Right,
and
early
the hungriest
start date.
To fill the ledger.
Yep.
Going out the 1st of June, not so much.
Yep.
Good. Anything more on Maple Harbor? Okay, we'll move on. Attorney's report.
We've discussed most of it, but just a note on the 57 events from the Antrim County Sheriff's Department. That's the least we've had in 7 years. So on this thing, nothing on Metro or farmland and open space. Sportsman's Club per the memo from Matt Zimmerman on this thing, we're anticipating that the DNR will grant a certificate of completion. I haven't seen any yet or heard about it.
DEQ?
DEQ, excuse me. And then Global will file a no further action report, and the DNR will approve the new action report, no further action report, then the property would be okay for public use. Hopefully by next spring, you know, we'll be open, or at least be able to be planned more. On the Grammar property on Birch Lake Road, Larry is continuing to watch that property and the parking and the transposition of the boats and the repairs there. Planning Commission will have no meeting in October. The next meeting will be Tuesday, November 21st, 6:30 p.m. Hayden, south of town, 47-acre parcel project, nothing new on that project. On Fragmites that I keep reporting on September 14th, Dorrance got a memo from Heidi Schaefer saying that Dusty Jordan is the new invasive species coordinator, gave a phone number, and said that he is in the process of doing an inventory on the Fragmites or the invasive species along the bay frontage. As far as I know, nobody's heard anything from Dusty. Mr. Jordan.
I did talk to Dusty.
Did you?
I just want to say his name. he's done the survey already and is waiting for results to come back to see what he has to do, so. And has no cost yet at this time.
As Dorrance has already referred to, and Shelley, the ZBA, Zoning Board of Appeals, has a meeting tonight, Tuesday, October 10th. Shouldn't say tonight, this afternoon, 3 p.m., has two variance requests on the agenda. Both of them are on Williams Drive. One of them is for a new build, addition to a house, and the other is regarding a shed and the placement within the setback area. Fire alarm ordinance, there's been one new one this past month. Total is 8 for the year. Birch Lake Sewer, just to remind the board on this thing, I know you haven't forgot, but there will be, in the future, we'll have some maintenance on the transmission line and on the manholes to be scheduled, probably sometime next year.
Not going to do it this year.
I don't believe they're going to do it this year.
No money, Mike?
Not enough.
It would be very close. I don't want to run it.
And we've got the photographs. They're not in real need, especially a transmission line, but it's good to
yeah,
it's be
not
proactive
critical.
On this thing. Maple Harbor, we've already discussed in the results of our last meeting. That's all for today.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
Hi, Sportsman's Club tires.
Yeah, Shelley has something she can tell you about that.
Yes.
Yep, there's a DEQ grant available to remove old tires, and we're in the process of trying to gather the application and the narrative and everything together so that we can get that. It's due by the end of October, and there's a lot of work to be done on that. Mike and I went out and took pictures yesterday, and so we're hoping to be able to, you know, none of us really do that. That's kind of an art, is filling out these grant applications and making sure you know what they have or what they want. And so we're trying to pull something together, and hopefully we'll be able to finish that up by the end of this week, beginning of next week, and try to get this grant money to help dispose of the tires out there.
Is there a grant application consultant that we could hire?
Well, I tried Global because they are so familiar with the project, Global Engineering, and she said, gosh, we really don't do that. So just looking at the application and the narrative, I thought we would try to put it together ourselves and see what we could do.
Yeah, it could be money well spent if we win the toss.
I spoke with Heidi in, last week about this, and she said she would try to help, but she's gone for a couple of weeks, but I'm sure Shelley and Mike can figure it out, but I was really asking her for support, and she said she would, but she didn't feel we'd really need it, because the tire issue is a big thing with the DEQ right now. They want to try to do what they can to clean it up. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I'll definitely have people review before we send in, to see if there's anything they can add, or, you know, it's the application with specific questions and then the narrative, and it's the narrative, I think, that is going to be the selling point.
Will we have their approval before we make this grant application? In other words, will we have closed the abatement issue?
I believe we have it close now. It's just a matter of waiting on DEQ, and then, of course, we want Matt to review it to make sure it's... But as far as the tires go, they're non-hazardous, so it's not really an issue for the DEQ or anyone. It's just something we have to get out of there and get cleaned up. So, I mean, I don't see it being a problem, even if we don't have the clearance. The tires, well, actually, Jill said the tires have no bearing on what she's doing.
So we don't get a plus or minus depending on whether we have a DEQ compliance final and we make a grant application to them?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I would say it won't make a difference either way, other than just... They're going to rate it as a what they see. I think the volume of tires will have the bigger difference on the grant than anything else, from what Heidi's told me. The more tires you have, it seems like the more percentage you could, you know, come up with. Mike had a cost originally of, what was it, $10 a tire?
Yeah, loading and hauling and getting the tires about $35,000.
Yeah, because there's right around.
How do we know how many we got?
We counted them.
We counted them.
Just so you know, Dick.
35,000.
That's why the grant appeals to us.
Shelly, 35,000 or 3,500 tires?
Thousand.
No, dollars.
Oh, $35,000 was the estimate.
So there's about 3,500 tires.
Roughly.
Years. Roughly 28, 32, 33.
We have an accurate account within 100 or 200.
Wow.
But we'll challenge you if you want to go back on account.
That's okay. That's, I'm good with that.
They're in a big win row if you'd like to see them.
And I think if we get the grant, we have to, it's good until December 1st of 18. So we can clean it up. And hopefully now, then we can start lining up, and as soon as springtime comes and the snow melts, we start backing trucks in there and get them out of there.
You've been talking with... Help me again. I'm horrible on names.
Northern A1 and American Waste.
Yeah, so that's where we got our numbers from. And they'll probably be the ones that we'd have to work with. Because I think they're the only really licensed haulers. And
There's a list in that grant.
There?
Yeah. Okay. Haulers and, that we can use.
So we're hopeful we do well on this grant.
And that would close the...
Well, not to confuse you. That has really nothing to do with the other part. It's just... Yeah. A part of the process that we feel strongly we want to clean up. It's an eyesore. But as far as the DEQ, you know, we're at their will when they decide to, you know, wave the wand on us. Okay. Shelly, you've been working on the cemetery. Do you want to share any of that with everyone?
It was a quiet year. And then all of a sudden, everything started up. So we're working with 365 Outdoor on just getting rid of old bushes and just a bunch of stuff that's in the way, just to clean that up, and stump grinding, limbs that have fallen or are dangerous, that kind of stuff. We did a walkthrough with Scott
Felker,
yeah, just last week. So he's got a whole map, and once his crew gets done with that, he's supposed to submit to us by section maintenance for areas, because we've got some old stones out there from, you know, the 1900s, 1913. You can't read the names, that, you know, some of them are broken over, some of them. So we need to really get in there and fix up a lot of the cemetery, and we're not going to be able to do it all at once. We don't have any revenue coming in that helps us with the cemetery. It's all tax dollars. But we're going to use a fund that we have and try to do the best that we can out there, and also level it out a little bit, because, you know, you're digging in ground, and so the people that are mowing the grass are up and down and all around because settling, and so we're going to look at a lot of that stuff with Scott Felker of 365. He's going to be a big help to us on that.
And Mike, do you want to just explain the fund we're using, just and how we kind of got there?
We had before a cemetery CD for perpetual care, and I was in contact with Mr. Zimmerman from Barnum, and we have the right to take that money for maintenance of the grounds. So we've closed out the CD, and it's stuck, and it's in a bank account, interest-bearing bank account over at Alden Bank, so we are ready to, we can't spend the money on the maintenance, and once we get that plan with, from Scotty, we can start doing the most critical sections first.
Well, we've talked about, kind of amongst all of us, a three-year plan, because we have a, kind of like what Shelley was saying, a sectional plan. Yeah. If we take the worst first and see how far this money will go. What was the total dollars that we're looking at spending, Mike?
Well, we have 86 available.
Thousand. Yeah. So that's what we're planning on spending over the next few years and maintaining the cemetery, trying to get it into shape again. So I don't know, is there any questions from anyone else on the board on that? Perpetual care has been there for ever, hasn't it, Mike?
It was there when I came here in 07, so.
Yeah, people used to buy their gravesite, pay the $10, whatever it was, for the plot, and then pay an extra dollar for perpetual care, which means we'll take care of that from now on to eternity. And it, we don't do that anymore, because
no,
that's, you just can't, you can't, I mean, you can't pick and choose, for one thing, that I'm going to cut the grass by that person's and I'm not going to do anything over here. And the $1 or whatever they were charging for perpetual care just didn't carry it even through a year, much less from 1913 up till now. So it was an odd concept, meant to protect the cemetery in case of privately owned things, I think.
Yes. We've done survey work out there this year, obviously, and we're continuing to work at that and try to get a little better handle on what's there and look things over. Is there anything else? Does anybody else have anything from the township board? Dick?
This is not a tough one, but now that the roof doesn't leak, I think, you think we could get the wallpaper back on the wall?
Good question.
Sort of my angle here, I just sort of, yeah, that sort of catches my
that
eye.
Seems to be the only spot right there, at least on our side.
And again, Dick, thank you for getting the roof fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's, well, saving us a bunch
of
money.
If it leaks, it's on you, though.
Oh, I understand. And I'll, of course, shift it right back to the contractor.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tougher one there. I mean, the roof's easy. That one's a tougher one.
Probably.
Trish, did you have something to add?
I think it's going to be a sort of procedural question. I noticed there used to be public comment at the beginning and at the end, and then it's not at the end anymore. Cool. Is comment allowed at this meeting during these items if citizens have questions, or if I would have a question, is that allowed during the discussion of things?
It will be up to the board at that time whether or not to take public comment. We'd realized that we were really only required to have one public comment, so we've chosen to kind of follow your format. And at the board's pleasure, we will allow public comment such as yours right now, if and when we feel necessary.
Great, thank you so much. So I would have a suggestion. We do allow comment during the entire meeting, but we do have our citizen comment at the beginning. So if you only had one, I would request that you think about having that one comment at the end, so that questions that we accumulate during the meeting could be asked at the end. And realize that
okay,
you don't have to pay.
Well, the only thing is, Trish, our public comment is for comment, not for question and answer. We will take comment, and we could move it to the rear. I don't have a problem with that. But we will not take questions during public comment. It'll be for your comment for the board.
In other words, you're saying you may listen to the question, but you're not going to respond to it during the...
Correct. You're welcome to ask a question.
Right.
But we would welcome you to come to our offices, and we'd prefer to, if there's questions you need answered. Someone's here most every day, but we will take public comment, and I'm certainly the board, we can discuss that if you prefer to have it at the end or the beginning. For the public comment, we'll entertain that.
That's great. I had some thoughts about the tires and some other things that came up that might be useful, that maybe you explored, but maybe you didn't. And so I was just trying to...
Oh, no, that's fair.
...see if that would be most appropriate.
Yeah, one-on-one in the office would be great.
Yes.
Okay.
We welcome that.
Stuff like that.
Okay, great. So then you might think about commenting being taken at the end.
Sure.
Thank you.
We will talk about that. Thank you, Trish.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else on board announcements, correspondence? Guess we're good. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.